Hello, and welcome to Why Wars Happened, a weekly history podcast where we talk about what led to war in history. I'm your host, Emily Ross, and today we're going to be discussing the things that led to the American Revolution, with a focus on Virginia this season. Okay, so where we left off in the last episode was that Oliver Cromwell was dead. He and his parliament had made some terrible laws for the colonies. The Navigation Acts basically made it illegal to trade with anyone other than England. The colonists couldn't even trade with other colonies, at least not at first. Even though this was the law, England was busy with the last bits of the Civil War in England and had mostly left the colonies alone. This lasted for around 10 years. And during this time, the colonists had gained valuable experience in self-government. Cromwell's son had inherited the throne and was quickly kicked out of it. The executed Charles I's son was now invited back to England and sat on the throne as Charles II. If the colonists were hoping for a change in their favor, they would be waiting for a long time. In fact, things were about to get worse for them. Much worse. Charles wouldn't lift the Navigation Acts. He would confirm them. King Charles II understood the need for closeness between England and its territories. He understood that Parliament had beheaded his father, had gained control, and had closed the throne to any king until they invited him back. He himself had fought in battle against Parliament's army, and he had escaped across England all the way to France, hiding in trees and under houses along the way while disguised as a peasant. So King Charles II understandably didn't want to create another tense situation with Parliament. The people who paid Parliament lots of money wanted England's colonies to trade only with them and their ships. With the colonists being unable to sell their things at higher prices elsewhere, they were forced to sell things at whatever prices English merchants wanted to pay, which was low. And being unable to buy things they needed at lower prices from elsewhere, the colonists were forced to pay whatever the English merchants wanted, which was high. Charles obviously had an interest in asserting England's power over its territories, a sign to be sure that he was in control. This wasn't just personal for him. It was also the prevailing idea around trade at the time. It was completely accepted and had been practiced for generations. On top of that, remember in the first several episodes, we went over how England had gone to great expense and risk to establish Virginia as the first permanent English settlement in America. And they had done so because they were starving, poor, overcrowded, and their force were dwindling away at a rapid pace. England didn't have enough natural resources, at least not enough to support their population, and they had to risk their lives every time they sailed into another country's territory to get those natural resources. Virginia and other colonies were supposed to provide these resources and solve England's problems. But however hard it tried, Virginia had failed at this. It could only really produce tobacco. Now, other countries were profiting from the colonies, specifically the Dutch. England was in direct competition with the Dutch all over the world at this time. The Dutch grew rich from selling things cheaper than the English could sell them for. The Dutch bought things from the colonists at higher prices than England was willing to pay. And then the Dutch took those things they bought from the colonists and sold them all over the world, making tons of money, while England made pennies in comparison. It was an outrage. Why should England's competition benefit more than them? Off of their own territories. This couldn't stand. The Navigation Acts made it so that England profited from its colonies more than other countries did. All taxes paid on all things brought to England would go to the English government instead of taxes going to a foreign government somewhere else. Plus, King Charles wanted to make sure Parliament and all the people Parliament liked were happy with the money they made by trading with the colonies. So, the Navigation Acts were written again and passed again. This time, the colonies would have the watchful eye of the king on them, and no longer would they be able to sneak past the laws restricting them. There were some exceptions to the laws, but they were few. The colonies at first weren't allowed to trade with each other, but now they were allowed to trade with each other, but only in English ships, manned by crews of which the majority were Englishmen. With these points in mind, it doesn't seem so evil that England would pass the Navigation Acts. But, evil or not, while England benefited, the colonists suffered. By this time, Virginia and its neighboring colony, Maryland, had been selling millions of pounds of tobacco every year around the world. If they could only sell to England, they'd be left with the majority of their tobacco unsold. England was only so big, and a lot of the tobacco that Virginia and Maryland grew was unpopular in England. England did allow Virginia tobacco to be sold around the world, but only if it went to England first and paid a huge, massive tax, and then went on its way to Spain or the Netherlands or wherever else it could be sold. It was certain to bring utter ruin to Virginia's economy. On top of that, war had broken out between the Dutch and England. Even if tobacco made its way to England and the huge tax was paid, England didn't have access to some of the markets where the tobacco was popular. Like with the Dutch. The war had cut them off from the markets. So massive amounts of tobacco sat in dingy English warehouses, rotting and wasting away. With rotten tobacco overflowing in England, who would buy more of it from the colonies? Not many. And whatever tobacco was sold to England sold at very, very low prices. Think of it like this. Before the Navigation Acts, a tobacco farmer could sell his tobacco and get around 12 pounds a year, or roughly 2,200 pounds in today's money, or $2,800 in today's money. After the Navigation Acts, the same farmer could sell his tobacco and was lucky to get 45 shillings per year. That's around 366 pounds in today's money, or $470 in today's money. That's a huge difference. The situation became so dire that 2 years after the king returned to the throne, Governor Berkeley left for England to plead with King Charles II in person to allow the colonists to trade with other countries again. Virginia was ruined, and the people were in extreme need. While on this mission to England, Berkeley wrote a paper called A Discourse and View of Virginia. In it, he stated that, quote, "We cannot but resent that 40,000 people should be impoverished to enrich little more than 40 merchants, who, being the whole buyers of our tobacco, give us what they please for it, and after it is here, sell as they please." He went on to say that people in Virginia were slaves to the English merchants. They worked for nothing. He said that, quote, "We furnish ourselves and their seamen with meat and drink, and all our sweat and labor as they order us, will hardly procure us coarse clothes to keep us from the extremities of heat and cold." The paper was supposed to convince the English powers to lift the trade laws imposed on the colonists. He told the government that the reason the economy was so poor in Virginia was the Navigation Acts. He pleaded with the government to get rid of them. But this they would not do. After all, they had their own English subjects to look out for. Governor Berkeley's paper was ineffective. England wouldn't change her position on the laws of trade and the colonies. The English power suggested that the colonists should return to the work of producing clothes, iron, leather, and other such goods as they were originally supposed to do. This, of course, had been tried many times and was always unsuccessful. That same year, Governor Berkeley stated that the price of tobacco had fallen so low that a tobacco farmer wouldn't even make enough from a sale to pay for the cost of shipping it to England. A few years later, Governor Berkeley's secretary, Thomas Ludwell, wrote that tobacco was worth nothing. Still, Governor Berkeley did work with the assembly to encourage the production of those other items once again. But a few years later, things still hadn't changed for the colonists. Governor Berkeley's secretary wrote to the governor's brother that a half penny per pound was the average of what tobacco farmers made. That's half a pound in today's money, or 63 cents in today's dollars. That's how much tobacco farmers were being paid per pound at that time. On top of that, each farmer had to pay a tax of 50 shillings, which is around 540 pounds in today's money, or $680 in today's money. That was what the poor farmer had to pay in taxes out of the small amount that he was making. And sometimes the English merchants would double this tax. It was an outrage indeed. Berkeley's secretary went on to say that the impoverished families had barely anything to buy clothes and other necessities. He said, quote, "I can attribute it to nothing but the great mercy of God that keeps them from mutiny and confusion." 2 years after that, he wrote that things were still the same. What's even worse is that normally, low prices on something would make people go out and buy more of that thing. But while it was cheap in the colonies for the merchants to buy, England kept the price of tobacco the same in England. So more people didn't come to buy more tobacco. Remember that Virginia had no other major thing that it made and sold. Tobacco was it. When tobacco didn't sell, or when it sold for almost nothing, the people had no money to pay for anything. People became desperate. Imagine if everyone in your state or province had the exact same job that you have right now. Imagine that you're competing against everybody else in your state, and that now, suddenly, the people who paid workers like you only paid you a few pennies an hour, and you still had to compete for those pennies. It's not like today where certain jobs can be replaced by robots and you won't really be affected. At least not yet. Everybody was affected by the low prices of tobacco. Everybody. At least in Virginia. And it brought disaster and ruin to everybody. People didn't have much money in England either. Things were getting hard in the economy there. So people couldn't afford to buy many things. Also, so many people in England had so little money to spend that the sellers in English shops didn't want to keep that much tobacco around. A handful of tobacco for a handful of customers who could afford it was all they needed. So the merchants in the colonies wouldn't even buy the entire crop from a farmer. Why would they? What would they do with it? Throw it in the Thames? Keep it in a warehouse to rot? There simply weren't enough customers in England who could afford tobacco. Usually how things work is that there's a ton of something, like tobacco, floating around and people are desperate to sell it, so they make the price really low. And that means people in England who don't have a lot of money could now afford your tobacco. That would at least give the tobacco growers some income. Problem solved, right? However, the English government didn't see it that way. They didn't care much about the colonists' suffering. They cared more about what would happen to the stores and sellers in England if they had to sell things at a low price. This is pretty natural for any government to do, and you could even argue that it's the government's responsibility first to its people that live in its land. So what was happening was that England wasn't allowing people to lower their tobacco prices. They made tobacco sellers keep the price high. This kept stores in England open, with the owners of the stores able to pay their rent and feed themselves, and not themselves fall into poverty. But, back in Virginia, the fact that merchants who bought tobacco from the colonies only paid pennies per pound meant that the tobacco growers were the ones slipping into destitution. The money to be made on tobacco was mostly kept by the people who bought it from the colonies and sold it in England. The actual growers themselves were hardly getting any money at all. Someone can pay you a few pennies for something and then take that something and sell it for several dollars in England. And that's what was happening. So, naturally, the first thing you do is complain to the government, who's part of the problem because they're keeping the prices high in England. One way to fix this issue of growers not getting money is to tell the government to get out of the way and allow the price in England to drop. Allow more customers. Allow more money to come their way. And the colonists did complain to England, and the colonists were promptly ignored. If this weren't bad enough, English merchants who brought clothes and tea and other necessities to the colonies were starting to sell their products for higher prices. Things in England were becoming more expensive, so they kind of had to. With the Navigation Acts, it was now illegal to buy or sell anything to anyone other than English merchants or other English colonies. So while some merchants had to increase prices to keep up with the cost of living in England, many of them did it just because they could. The colonists had no choice but to buy things from them. And when you have no competition from the likes of Holland or France or Spain, you can charge as much as you want. It became so difficult for poor families to buy expensive clothes that they started to learn how to make the clothes themselves. Every county was ordered by the assembly to set up a loom and items required for clothes making. Several years later, they passed laws that rewarded any family that could make shoes, belts, leather, and even ships. There was one solution looking the poor colonists right in the face. While trade with foreign countries was illegal, there was one easy opportunity the colonists had to buy things at lower prices. That was each other. At first, as we discussed, the English colonies weren't allowed to even trade with each other. Even though it was illegal, Virginia's desperation and New England's go-screw-yourself attitude to the English government made the authorities powerless to stop them. But when King Charles II became king, he made sure the authorities did have some power to stop them. They were allowed to trade with each other, but there were rules in place. When the colonists were finally allowed to sell tobacco to other English colonies, England taxed them 1 penny per pound. That's about 1 pound in today's money, or $1.30 in today's money. If England had to worry about its own people, then Virginia had to do so as well. With the people in such destitution, the government either unable or unwilling to do anything to help them, and laws that made it illegal or extremely difficult to sell their tobacco, the people of Virginia were waiting for someone to strike the match and light the flames of a rebellion. And the thing that happened next was the spark that would set it off. That's all for today. Thanks for tuning in. Join us next week when we discuss Virginia's efforts to reduce tobacco growing and the series of disasters that added to their troubles. Subscribe so you don't miss the next episode and comment your thoughts on this episode below. See you next time on Why Wars Happened.